Good morning. I'm Bob Brown. Welcome. We're so glad you're here for worship today. Our prayer is that you experience God's presence in a meaningful way. Take a moment to greet someone nearby. We're a family in Christ, and we're grateful you're part of this gathering. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHEC Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, ZionLeeSoar.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so that we can personally greet you. The radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all to give to this ministry. The message today is Godly Expectations by Pastor Gene Bringold Pro. And as a side note, I want to welcome Pastor Jean. She will be with us on every Sunday, most Sundays, until we find an interim pastor. She comes from from Prior Lake. She said she will introduce herself further as we get into the service. But welcome, Pastor Jean, and thank you. The spring schedule of Fusion kicks off on February 4th, which would be this coming Wednesday. Volunteers are needed to provide a meal or snack for Fusion. There is a sign-up sheet on the table by the entry. If you cannot serve the meal, just let us know and we will take care of that. Snacks can be dropped off at the church office. February is Zion's month at the food shelf. Volunteers are needed to help at the food shelf. Please help us feed the hungry. There is a sign-up sheet on the table. And Cindy asked me to beg. I told her I would not get down on my knees, but please, please consider helping out with this ministry. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Anything you could give would be appreciated. Now, let us join in worship.
Want to be happy? Do you know how to be happy? Yeah, there are different opinions on that. Some people think that the way to happiness is to get rich and not need anybody. That you should live for the moment. That you should be proud and think you are the best. That you shouldn't care for people who suffer injustice. That you should take revenge on those who hurt you. That might make right. And you should never stand up for what you believe in. Are you happy? Well, there is another way. When Jesus talked about being happy, he gave us the Beatitudes. Beatitude is another word for happy or being blessed. Jesus told us the way to true happiness is to know that we need God and we need each other. That when one of us suffers, we should all mourn together and that we should care about those who suffer injustice. That it's better to be humble than arrogant. That mercy is better than revenge. That peace is better than fighting. And that we should stand up for what we believe, even if it means we'll suffer. Happy? Living the Beatitudes is living like Jesus did. It's the happiness your heart was made for.
Good morning. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Good. I don't exactly have the world's softest voice, so hopefully you'll be able to hear me. Well, I'm Pastor Jean Bringold Pro, And I'm going to be doing what they call pulpit supply until you get a new bridge or a new interim pastor. So we'll be together for a while anyway. And just a little bit about my experience. I'm a second career pastor. My first career was being a lawyer. And then when I was 50, I went back to theological seminary and became a pastor. And I have, I serve two churches out by Litchfield, St. Matthew's United Church of Christ and Peace United Church of Christ. So I preached twice every Sunday. And I did that for 10 and a half years. So I consider that I've actually got 21 years of experience. And then I retired about 5.5 years ago. And so here I am, and I'm going to enjoy being with you. I enjoy leading worship, and so let's have a good time, okay? All right. So please join me in our responsive call to worship, which is printed in your bulletin. This is the time for worship and praise. This is a day for song and celebration. God wills our happiness and enjoyment of life. God gives each of us important work to do. Let us celebrate the past and anticipate the future. Let us rejoice that God is present with us now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you are with us this morning as we worship you. Let us be pure in heart and honest in what we need. We know that you will meet our needs and will give us peace of mind if we only ask for it. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, and our opening hymn is number 43. Love divine, all loves excelling. Please stand as you are able. Now let us pray our prayer of confession. Amazing God, as we ponder your creation, we are awed by what you have done. Forgive us if we are too busy to notice all that you have done for us. We know that you love us and expect better from us. Reorder our priorities so that we can live up to your expectations. Forgive our faltering ways. We long to be made new. Amen. I declare the complete forgiveness of your sins. Jesus died on the cross to save us. Go ahead with your lives in a blameless way. Amen. Share the peace of the Lord one with another.
Morning. The Old Testament lesson today is from Micah 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of this word. Amen. Amen.
Take Today's gospel lesson is from Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of God for the people of God. When I read what the scripture texts were for today, I was delighted that our Micah text was among them. The text is one of my absolute favorites. In fact, I have it on my stole. I just love this text. I think it perfectly encapsulates the way that we should live a godly life. The text emphasizes that God desires justice, mercy, or kindness, and says that humility is also all important. We're to seek these things rather than rely on ritualistic sacrifices, like burning incense or sacrificing animals. We're called to live out our lives authentically. What does the truth, the Lord requires is not just a rhetorical question. It sets the stage for a profound exploration of God's expectations beyond mere religious acts. We are to act justly, and God expects us to do mercy or kindness and to walk humbly with God. Let's explore each of these separately. The Hebrew words for justice and mercy are mishpat and hesed. Those concepts reflect God's requirement that we behave ethically and with compassion toward others. We're to embody these qualities in our daily lives. True worship means that we're to live out these principles rather than merely performing religious rituals. As I said, I'm a retired attorney. I worked as a lawyer for 25 years before going to seminary to become a pastor. For those 25 years, I worked within a legal system that was dedicated to justice. This meant that the laws needed to be followed, everyone got their day in court, and the judges and juries were to be fair and ethical. I was a divorce lawyer for those 25 years, which probably explains why I didn't get married till I was 53. I liked men just fine, did not like the institution of marriage one bit. I was also the county prosecutor for 8 years, and I actually participated in 1990 in prosecuting 2 murders that happened in our county. It was important that justice be done in those circumstances, but justice goes way beyond just what is in the criminal and civil court system. Acting justly means that we are to have an undivided mind. We're to be fair and honest in all our dealings with others. But this goes way beyond just simple cash register honesty, as I call it. We're called to fight oppression, encourage truth, and fight falsehood and corruption. We must show responsibility for the weaker members of our society. We must protect the rights of others. Justice is required just plain old for social preservation. It's the law of the jungle unless we have justice. We must have a sense of right and wrong. As we're told in Psalm 51, verse 6, God requires truth in our inward parts. We're called to be people of integrity. God is deserving of our heart, body, soul, and spirit. We owe God our wisdom, our understanding, and our judgment. The good that God expects is the doing of his will. True religion is shown by doing justice. We are called to do what is right, not necessarily what is easy. Now, I feel the need to discuss current events here today. I'm not a big believer in discussing politics in the pulpit. I would never tell you who to vote for or which candidate is better or whether or not you should go to your local caucuses and vote a certain way. I would never tell you to do that. But as Christians, we cannot deny that Jesus was pretty political. He was often in opposition to the rule of the empire. He frequently clashed with the religious leaders of the time. I'm sure you all remember where Jesus went after the money changers in the temple with cords and overturned the tables of the money changers. Jesus preached peace, as we learned from our reading of the Beatitudes this morning. Blessed are the peacemakers. We all need to work for peace. But Jesus is also powerfully teaching about injustice and oppression. We in Minnesota are currently living in a very troubling and turbulent time, no matter what side of the political spectrum you are. No matter your political affiliation, we could all agree that things are in a violent mess. As Christians, what is our responsibility in these times? I think we can learn a lot from two of my favorite Christians, Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Thomas Merton. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor in Germany during the Third Reich. During that time, the Nazis had taken control of Christian churches in Germany. Instead of Christianity, the pastors were forced to preach about Nazism. The crosses in the churches were actually replaced with swastikas. Bonhoeffer was absolutely opposed to this. He started an underground seminary to train pastors in preaching Christianity. He eventually joined a movement that conspired to kill Hitler. He was eventually arrested and imprisoned in a concentration camp. He did a lot of great writing while he was imprisoned and kept his faith right up to his execution. It is said that as he was being hanged, he sang hymns. He is a great hero of the faith. Above my desk at home, I have the following quote. Being a Christian is less about cautiously avoiding sin than about courageously and actively doing God's will. I really like that. It calls us to action. We are to courageously and actively do God's will. I also really like this quote from American monk Thomas Merton. Our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy. Our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy. This gets us thinking about what we should do about the situation that we are in. We are called to do justice. Those who are involved in these immigration raids need to be given proper judicial process. They need to be treated fairly by the authorities. There should be nonviolent responses during arrests. The humanity and dignity of people must be respected. Let us all think and pray for Renee Good and Alex Preddy. Their deaths are tragic. This is not the way that things should go. No one should be dying in this situation. Let us hope that cooler heads will prevail and the violence will be diminished. As Bonhoeffer also said, silence in the face of evil is also evil. God will not call us, will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. We're also called to love kindness or mercy. As Merton says, we're called to love others even if they are unworthy. God, Jesus calls us to love others as we love ourselves. God wants our unreserved love, and the word hesed, which means love or loyal love, means kindness. This is all about our relationships. We are to have covenantal love for one another. We're to reach out to others in need and to show care for them. This means genuine compassion to those who need us to help. In Colossians 3, verses 13 through 14, the Apostle Paul tells us to bear with each other and to forgive each other. We're to put on love, which is the bond of perfect unity. In our gospel reading this morning, we hear, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And the great commandment tells us to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Finally, we're to walk humbly with our God. Humility is hard. It's hard for me. I'm always reminded of that old Mac Davis song, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble." Maybe you remember that song. "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I love to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be one heck of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can." I love that song. Humility means that God wants our unconditional obedience. To walk humbly means that our heart's attitude is one of obedience to God. We're to get out of the driver's seat and let God take the wheel. It's critical that we sort out our relationship with God. God knows how we are supposed to operate. A good life will only come to us if we try to follow God's instructions. So how do we determine what God's will for us? How do we quiet our minds enough to hear God's voice? Now, I'm always looking for spiritual practices that will help me to get closer to God. Recently, I've been using a practice begun by St. Ignatius of Loyola called the Examen. It is easy and can be done daily in only about 10 minutes. It's a 500-year-old prayer method that helps us notice when God is present during our day. It is typically done at the end of the day when we reflect on the day's events to discern God's direction, but I'm kind of doing it kind of middle of the day instead of at night. We pray the Examen by first placing ourselves in God's presence. We sit quietly, maybe with a Bible in our lap. Maybe we read a few verses from the Bible. We then pray for the grace to see how God is acting in our lives. We then review our day by recalling specific moments and feelings at the time. We then reflect on what we did or said at the time. Were we drawing closer to God or moving further away? We then look forward to tomorrow and to think about how we might cooperate with God's plan. We get specific with these ideas, and then we end with the Lord's Prayer. So these are challenging orders from Scripture. We're to act justly, show kindness, and walk humbly. But the good news is that we have God with us at all times. We're not expected to do this alone. If we quiet our minds and listen, we will hear what God wants us to do. If we live prayerfully, God's will can be revealed to us. Acting with love will always be part of those instructions. Let us commit to live according to Micah 6:8. We will not go wrong if we do. And now our next hymn is "Blessed Are the Poor in Spirit," New Century Hymnal number 180. Thank you.
forgot my paper.
Christians around the world and throughout the centuries, today we gather around the table and the bread and juice, simple things that are symbols of nourishment and transformation. Let us pray, loving God. Thank you for being close to us and for loving us passionately and completely. You sustain us by giving us Jesus Christ, who taught us how to love. He calls us to justice and peace. He continues the transformation through his death and resurrection. Bless this bread and this cup. Make us the body of Christ. Amen. On the night when Jesus and the disciples took their last meal together, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body that is broken for you. Take and eat and remember me." In the same way, he took the cup, and after blessing it, he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink, all of you. This cup is the covenant in my blood, poured out for many. Do this in the remembrance of me." Come to the table, all of you. Everything is prepared. Repeat after me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Now, if the servers would please come forward. Eat, all of you. take and drink, all of you. Let us pray. We give thanks, loving God, that you have refreshed us at your table. Strengthen our faith and increase our love for one another. Plant in us the seeds of justice, kindness, and mercy. And let us approach you with humility. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly God, we come to you today with our questions and concerns. We wonder what we need to do your will. How can we know what you want from us? How can we be sure of anything in this turbulent world? We watch the news and we become afraid and depressed. There's so much turmoil and sadness that we do not know how to respond. We have difficulties in our personal lives that give us much concern. How can we know what to do? Oh, great God, we beg of you to calm our hearts and minds. Give us an abiding sense of your presence. Guide our steps as we navigate the winding and sometimes frightening roads of life. Give us the strength we need to face our difficulties. We also pray for our world this morning. There is so much conflict and trouble. Ease the tensions that exist in areas near to and far away from us. Give those in positions of authority the will to do what is moral and right. We especially pray for the state of Minnesota today. Grant peace to the situation we find ourselves in, and grant our leaders the wisdom to help relieve the difficulties. We now pray for those in our community who need our prayers. I have a prayer card here. We have birthday wishes for Nate Wiley, who has his birthday tomorrow. Let's give Nate a round of applause. Heavenly God, we thank you for hearing our pleas. Now let us pray together the prayer that our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we will now receive the offering. Thank you. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have so richly blessed us. Please accept these, our gifts. May they be used to advance the gospel and to relieve the suffering in the world. We give you thanks in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As you are able, for the singing of our concluding hymn, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Didn't we? It's always a little stressful the first time you lead worship in a new place, but I think we did just fine. Receive the benediction. Every year in the churches that I served out west, I always ended each church service with the Edelweiss benediction.
This could be sung beautifully to the tune of Edelweiss. But the owners of Sound of Music have now protested that as a copyright problem, so we can't sing Edelweiss when we do this, but I can recite the words, so I will. May the Lord, mighty God, bless and keep you forever. Grant you peace, perfect peace, courage in every endeavor. Lift up your eyes and see his face and his grace forever. May the Lord, mighty God, bless and keep you forever. Amen. Coffee fellowship in the back.
Should I tell them?
Hi.
Good. I just
want
to make sure. I want to make sure my breath is working. If I can't hear my voice, I'm singing like a New Year or something.
It's a woman.
Let's go.
I know.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.